Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Ummah Radio. You are listening to the Hadith class with myself, Abu Musab. Last week we had done we had just started Al-Aqidah Al-Tahawiyyah, as it was the Aqidah class. As you know, every alternate Monday we do Hadith, 1 week Hadith, and the next week Aqidah. So 2 weeks ago we had just started Al-Shama'il Al-Muhammadiyyah, better known as Shama'il al-Tirmidhi, of written by Imam al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah. And in that lesson, we had done the first five ahadith of the book. And of course, once again, for those of you who are new, the download link for the kitab is available on Ummah Forum. In the Ummah Radio section, there is a thread called Monday Aqidah and Hadith Class. In there, you can find the link for Shama'il al-Muhammadiyyah to download it directly. Furthermore, anybody who has any questions on the lesson as we do it, you can send in your questions via Skype, the Skype name being Ummah Radio. Okay then, last time we had stopped on page 10 of the PDF, which is Hadith number 6, so we will continue on from there, inshallah. So then we can start. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. So like I say, if you open your books, for those of you who are following from the book, and for those of you who don't have the book, you can just listen in. The hadith is hadith number 6, page 10. He says, حدثنا أحمد بن عبدة الضبي البصري وعلي بن حجرين وأبو جعفر محمد بن الحسين وهو ابن أبي حليمة والمعنى واحد. قالوا حدثنا عيسى بن يونس عن عمر بن عبد الله مولى غفرة قال حدثني إبراهيم بن محمد من ولدي علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه. Okay, this hadith is reported, if you look here it says, it's reported by Ahmad ibn Abdah al-Dabbi al-Basri, and it says وعلي بن حجر. This hadith is not only reported by Ahmad ibn Abdah al-Dabbi, but it's also reported by Imam Ali ibn Hujr, and it's also reported additionally from Abu Ja'far Muhammad ibn al-Husayn. And this Muhammad ibn al-Husayn is known as Ibn Abi Halima. And the meaning of all the wordings may be slightly different in the hadith that they report, but wal-ma'na wahid, as we say, the meaning of the hadith is the same. They may have their different sanads, their different chains, but the hadith itself, basically they're speaking about they all narrating, so to say, the same hadith, which was said at the same time. So, but it's just from three different narrators. Then they in turn reported from Isa ibn Yunus, who narrated from Umar ibn Abdullah, who is the free slave of Ghufra. Now, Ghufra, here, is Ghufra binti Rabah, and for those of you who know the name Rabah, it should not be a surprise for you to know who this is. But for those who don't know, Ghufra bint Rabah is the sister of Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu, the muazzin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. His name was Bilal ibn Rabah radiallahu anhu, and this was his sister. So this narrator, Umar ibn Abdullah, he was the freed slave of the sister of Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu. Now he reports the hadith from Ibrahim ibn Muhammad. And Ibrahim ibn Muhammad is from the offspring of Hazrat Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. Now as for who Ibrahim ibn Muhammad is, he is Ibrahim ibn Muhammad. Muhammad is the more famous son. To give his proper name, you will recognize him at once. He is Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya. It's not the son of Hadrat Fatima radiallahu anha, but Hadrat Ali radiallahu anhu had him from a different woman. So, meaning after Hadrat Fatima radiallahu anha passed away. So, he is also from the offspring of Hadrat Ali radiallahu anhu. Now, Ibrahim, he is basically, as you would say, the grandson of Hadrat Ali radiallahu anhu. So, in any case, Ibrahim here in this narration, he is narrating, the hadith goes right back up to Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, who then said, and this is where the hadith actually starts. قال كان علي إذا وصف رسول الله صلى الله وسلم قال. He says that when Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, when he would describe Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would say, and this is a very lengthy hadith, and it is one of the most difficult hadith, I would say, in existence from a linguistic perspective. There are two hadith which are, I would say, on this equal level of difficulty. It's this one, and it's that narration of the women who sat together and each one described how their husbands were. The hadith of Zara, that hadith, and this one here, have the most difficult of words used in it. As you will see, you will understand what I mean after we go through the hadith and we read the adjoining part which comes just after this. So in any case, when Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu used to describe Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this is what he would say. لم يكن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بالطويل الممغط ولا بالقصير المتردد. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was neither extremely tall nor was he extremely short. This word is pronounced ممغط or ممغط. In both cases, the meaning is similar. And rather, she said, the meaning is the same. So he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was neither very tall nor very short. وكان ربعة من القوم. He was of an average height. And like we did last time, average more towards tallness than shortness. لم يكن بالجعد القطط ولا بالسبط. That the hair of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم was neither twisted and curly, but nor was it length, extremely straight. He explains how the hair of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم was, and he says, كان جعدا رجلا. You see the kasra is under the ra, but it actually is supposed to be under the jim as rajilan. So كان جعدا رجلا. The hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was slightly wavy. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ بِالْمُطَّهَّمِ وَلَا بِالْمُكَلْثَمِ. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not have a fat face nor a round face. Okay, then he says, وَكَانَ فِي وَجْهِهِ تَدْبِيرٌ. So yeah, he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't have a round face, but there was a bit of roundness in his face. The ulama explain this and they say that obviously fat face is clearly understandable, but when he says round face, some people have too round a face and then it basically it's noticeable that he's got a round head and a round face. So he's negating that and he says that the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not round. But there was some roundness to his face, because some people again have got long faces. So when you have a long face, you look sad and things like this. So negating that extreme, like I mentioned at the beginning in the last lesson, that it's always the middle path, neither the one extreme nor the other. So not round face, but neither with a long face. So what's meant here by وَكَانَ فِي وَجْهِهِ تَدْوِيرٌ, that the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a slight roundness to it, which gave the impression, which is what obviously natural, even apart from this, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked happy with this roundness of the face. Because like I mentioned, a person with a long face, a drooping face, makes a person normally look sad. So this roundness, just from the physical aspect, it made Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam look happy. And we know from other hadith that when the Sahaba radiallahu anhu explained that whenever they saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a smiling face. So this is one from a characteristic point and one is from a physical point. Okay, then he says, Abiyadun, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was white. White of complexion, like I mentioned last time again, it's not white as in pale white, but more of a wheatish complexion of white. But here you go further and it says, Abiyadun Musharabun. That the complexion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was white with a bit of redness in it. Quite easy to be found today. If you look at the Arabs, they are, when you find white Arabs, they are white with red pain in their faces, which is, as you would say, the contrary to how you find many people in, let's say, for instance, Russia or Poland or places like that, in the colder countries, where they've got a pale white complexion. So this is the difference, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was of a whitish complexion with a bit of redness in it. But like I said last time in the previous hadith about a wheatish complexion, so not white like you're thinking, like what we know as white, but even of a wheatish complexion, it is technically what you would call a white person. Obviously, there's no person today whose skin is really as white as snow. So, but we call a person and we say that that is a white person when it's light of complexion. So this is what is being meant when it's mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was white. Okay, so here we see that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was of a whitish complexion with redness in it. Then he says, Ad-Rajul Aynain, that the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very, the pupils were very black and the whiteness was very clear. He says, Ahdabul Ashfar, the eyelashes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very long. So, long eyelashes. He says, Jalilul Mushashi wal Katadi, that the joints, the elbows, and the shoulders of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was large, meaning broad shoulder, and like we did last time, that the knuckles and the elbows and things of Rasulullah, other joints, these were large of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he says, Ajrad. Ajrad means not hairy. So here he's referring to like the body of Rasulullah sallallahu, the chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not, as you would say, an overly hairy chest. But he explains and he says, Lu Masruba. We did the term Masruba last time. Masruba is the thin line of hair which runs from the top of the chest until the navel. So, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't have a hairy chest, he had just this line of hair running down. Then he says, Shakhsun al Kafaini wal Qadamain. إذا مشى تقلع كأنما ينحط من طبب. He says that the palms and feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was fleshy, and this word shasn, the two different meanings of it, we had mentioned in the last lesson as well, the explanation of it. So, like I mentioned, the chosen translation that I have chosen is the palms and feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being fleshy. So, when he would walk, he would lift his legs with vigor and he would incline forward slightly, and now he is coming down from an incline. And this term we have mentioned also in the previous hadith, that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to walk, it used to look like he was descending from a high place. Then he says, وَإِذَا إِلْتَفَتَ إِلْتَفَتَ مَعَنُ, that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to turn, when he was speaking to somebody, he would turn his body entirely towards that person. Not turn just his face or speak over his shoulder or anything like that. No. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to address someone, he would turn entirely his whole body towards and face that person with his whole body and address him in that manner. And obviously then turn to the next person in that manner. And not like it's common speak over your shoulder or to be doing a reply and all of that. So that's what he means. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would address someone, he would turn his body entirely towards him and then speak to him. Then he says, بَيْنَ كَتِفَيْهِ خَاتَمُ النُّبُوَّةِ, that the seal of prophethood was between the shoulders of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now what the seal of خَاتَمُ النُّبُوَّةِ, the seal of prophethood is, will be mentioned in the next chapter, so therefore I'm not going to go in depth on it here, but we'll leave it for the next chapter when it will come in detail, inshallah. So in any case, this Khatam al-Nubuwwah, the seal of prophethood, was between the shoulders of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He explains and he says, well, Khatam al-Nubuwwah, it is the seal of the final seal of Prophethood to show that Rasul Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the final prophet of Nabi, and there will be no prophet no Nabi after Rasul Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he says, أَجْوَلُ النَّاسِ صَدْرًا, that Rasul Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most generous of people. وَأَصْدَقُ النَّاسِ لَهْجَةً, and the most truthful of people in speech. And okay, that أَصْدَقُ النَّاسِ لَهْجَةً, the most truthful of people in speech. That is the end of page 10. Moving on to page 11, the hadith still continues. It says, وَأَلْيَنُ عَلَيْكَةً, and the softest of with regards to this condition. Nature of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very soft. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not one to like to argue and fight and shout and things like that. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a very soft nature. And he said, وَأَكْرَمُهُ عِشْرَةً, and the best and most noble of company. Obviously, who is there that could be of a better company than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So this is what he means, that if you were to choose someone's company to sit in, there was no better or more noble company than to be in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he says, مَنْ رَآهُ وَدِيهَةً آبَهُ,
whoever saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam suddenly, meaning it's the first time you see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then such a person would be awestruck. Now, the reason for this is, as we know in the hadith, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Nusirtu bil ru'b," that Allah has aided me with awe. This ru'b, as it's termed in Arabic, it's an awe which gets, obviously it affects the enemies more, but it affects the other people as well. That's why he said, yeah, that a person who saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, suddenly you don't recognize who Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. You just come upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like that, then you would be struck with awe. Obviously, for the various reasons, as have been mentioned already in the past few ahadith, and as will still continue to come, inshallah. So, in any case, that's what is meant by that part there. Then he says, وَمَنْ خَالَطَهُ مَعْرِفَةً أَحَبَّهُ, and whoever accompanies Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will come to recognize all of these qualities and he will love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he finally, he ends it off and he says, يَقُولُ نَعِتُهُ, the one who describes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, لَمْ أَرَى قَبْلَهُ وَلَا بَعْدَهُ مِثْلَهُ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this we have seen in the previous ahadith that we did do as well. The Sahaba radiyallahu anhu, when they would describe Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they would say, I have not seen anyone before him nor after him of his likeness sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So that is the sixth hadith from Ash-Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya. It was quite a lengthy hadith, and the thing which made it difficult, like I said, one of the most difficult, is because of the words which were used in the hadith. And here you will understand now why I said that. This whole next chapter, that more than half a page that's following here, is the not part of a hadith, but rather it's Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah, his comments. He says, قَالَ أَبُو عِيسَى, the Abu Isa is the kunya, the translated rather as agnomen of Imam At-Tirmidhi rahimahullah. So he says, سمعت أبا جعفر محمد بن محمد بن الحسين يقول, that Imam At-Tirmidhi said, I heard Abu Ja'far Muhammad ibn al-Husayn saying, سمعت الأسمعي يقول في تفسير صفة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. So Imam Tirmidhi, he heard from Abu Ja'far Muhammad ibn al-Husayn, who heard from Al-Asma'i, who was explaining the description of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning, this hadith that was just recited, read out now, Al-Asma'i, he translated, he interpreted, he gave the meaning and the explanation of the words used in this hadith. It's Arabic, But he's translating it from Arabic into Arabic to show the difficulty of the words. That's why it needed the whole lengthy part here just to explain what these words mean. So the first one, he says, Al-mumaghat al-dhahibu tulan. Or al-mumaghit, both ways. So the mumaghit, it means a person who is extremely tall.
وقال سمعت أعرابيا يقول في كلامه تمغط في نشابته أي مدها مدا شديدا. Now he's quoting a Bedouin. Like I mentioned before, in the ancient Arabs, the days of Jahiliyyah, in the poetry, and they would refer to the Bedouins like this because they were their usage of the words and how the words were used in the poetry of Jahiliyyah. This is what the people would refer to know how the usages of a particular word. So here he's explaining that the word mumaghat or mumaghit, that it's used to mean extremely tall. So he says, I heard a Bedouin saying in his speech, tamaghata fi nashabatihi. He, nashab refers to the arrow. So he made the arrow quite long. So, okay, from an English perspective, you don't get the depth of what is being said here, but in Arabic, it's a bit easier to understand. In any case, it means that he made the arrow long. Then he says, وَالْمُتَرَدِّدْ أَدَّاخِلُ بَعْضُهُ فِي بَعْضٍ قَصْرًا. That a mutaraddid means a person who is entering a part upon another part, anything very short. Basically, you can say folded up, so short a person is, which, like I say, we translate it as being very short. Then he says, وَأَمَّا الْقَطَطْ فَالشَّدِيدُ الْجُعُودَةِ. When we talk about the hair description, قَطَطْ, it means very curly. وَالرَّجِلُ الَّذِي فِي شَعْرِهِ حُجُونَةِ. And we know, he said, كَانَ جَعَدًا رَجِلًا. So this word, رَجِل, Rajil refers to hair which is straight, but which has a wave at the end. أي تثنن قليلين, meaning a slight wave. Not very wavy hair, but hair which is straight, but which has a slight wave on the ending. Then he says, وأما المطهم فالبادن الكثير اللحم. We did the term ليس بالمطهم ولا بالمكلثم in the hadith above. There's two meanings of mutaham. The mutaham, the way I translated it with the one meaning, it meant that he did not have a fat face. Mutaham means a fat face. But another meaning here, which Imam At-Tirmidhi rahimahullah is reporting, it means a person with a very fat body. So whether a fat face or a fat body, both ways it's two different interpretations of the word. Then he says, وَالْمُكَلْثَمْ أَلْمُدَوَّرُ الْوَجْهِ. Mukalsam means a person with a round face. وَالْمُشَرَبُ الَّذِي فِي بَيَاطِهِ حُمْرَةٌ. This word here, musharab, it refers to a person who is white and there is redness in his white complexion. وَالْأَدْعَجُ الشَّدِيدُ سَوَادُ الْعَيْنِ. This adaj means having the blackness of the eye is very black. So the pupil is very black. Not off-colored, but very black. And then he says, وَالْأَهْدَبُ طَوِيلُ الْأَشْفَارِ. This term, al-ahdab, it means long eyelashes. وَالْكَتَدْ مُجْتَمِعُ الْكَتِفَيْنِ وَهُوَ الْكَاهِلِ. The katad refers to the top, the upper back between the shoulders, which is termed in Arabic as the kahil, meaning where the shoulders join the upper back. This is what this term, katad, refers to. والمسربة هو شعر الدقيق الذي كأنه قضيب من الصدر إلى السرة. We did the term مسربة before. Yeah, he says مسربة is the thin line of hair which resembles a rod, which runs from the chest until the navel. والشثن الغليظ الأصابع من الكفين والقدمين. I mentioned الشثن الكفين والقدمين previously in the last session. That there are two interpretations. One means to have fleshy palms and feet, and the other interpretation means to have hard palms and feet, or rather rough, you would say rough skin on the fingers and toes. So this is what Imam Tirmidhi is reporting, this interpretation and not the other one. But like I say, both interpretations exist. Okay, then he says, وَالتَّقَلُّعُ أَيْ يَمْشِي بِقُوَّةٍ. تَقَلُّعُ, we mentioned it, it was mentioned in the hadith that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to walk, تَقَلُّعُ, he would mean أَيْ يَمْشِي بِقُوَّةٍ, he would walk powerfully. And obviously, walking strongly, powerfully, raising his leg vigorously. Okay, وَصَبَبُ الْحَدُورِ, that كَأَنَّمَا يَنْحَطُ مِنْ صَبَبٍ, as though he were. So this hudur means a descent, a slope. يقال إن حدرنا في صبوب وصبب. Okay, this is again just from a linguistic perspective. You say we descended from a slope. وقوله جليل المشاش يريد رؤوس المناكب. Yeah, when we did the hadith, جليل المشاش, it refers to Imam At-Tirmidhi rahimahullah, he reports Jalil al-Mushash as being the tops of the elbows, or literal translation, the ru'us literally means the heads, the heads of the shoulders. So Jalil al-Mushash, as you would say, the top part of the shoulder of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was large. We would translate it as being from a muscle perspective, and not, like I mentioned before, nothing was out of proportion. Everything was perfectly, to, as you can say, to perfection. So, Rubus al-Manakib means the upper shoulder, the top part of the shoulder of Rasulullah, of the shoulders of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was large. And then he says, وَلَعِشْرَةُ الصُّحْبَةُ. عِشْرَة means being a person's companion. وَلَعَشِيرُ الصَّاحِبُ. عَشِير means a companion. وَالْبَدِيهَةُ الْمُفَاجَأَةُ. بَدِيهَة means suddenly. يُقَالُ بَدَهْتُهُ بِأَمْرٍ أَيْ فَجَأَتُهُ. This again, linguistics, that I surprised him with matter. Okay, so that was Imam At-Tirmidhi rahimahullah's interpretation to what he had reported from Al-Asma'i, where he explained what all these various words used in the hadith is. Like you can see, the whole, almost three-quarter page, rather I should say it is just about three-quarter page, just to explain the Arabic words which were used in this hadith. And like I mentioned, there are a number of words which have two interpretations. It's not 100% definite, everyone saying just this one interpretation. So that is why I mentioned that from a linguistic perspective, this hadith is one of the most difficult. Okay, but in any case, that is where the hadith ends. The next hadith starts from here, which is hadith number 7. This is equally as large a hadith. In fact, it is even more large, even longer than the last hadith. Okay, it took half an hour basically just to do this one hadith, and this one was not that very long. I don't want to move on to this next hadith here, because this one would take at least another 45 minutes minimum. So I don't want to go into it and then have to rush through it to avoid boring people by having them sit and listen so long. So I think on that point we can stop on this hadith, just do the one hadith for tonight. And in our next program, of course next week Monday being the Aqidah class again, but the Monday thereafter we can continue on and do hadith number 7. So okay, on that point we will then be ending here on page 11 at the end of hadith number 6, and we will start hadith number 7 next time inshallah. So we stop here and we say, وَصَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَبِحَمْدِهِ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ نَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ نَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَنَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ.